Yes, climate change is a threat to the whole of humanity, to all the living creatures in the world, and to their habitats. Amongst the most threatened are tribes of indigenous people who depend on hunting and foraging for their subsistence, and whose natural habitats must remain intact for them to be able to survive. But climate change is not the only thing undermining their very survival. In fact, despite some progress over the last decade, indigenous peoples around the world continue to live in hardship and danger due to the failure of states to uphold their fundamental human rights. After many years of debate and negotiation, September the 13th, 2007 was a day of celebration for indigenous peoples as the UN General Assembly finally approved the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples by an overwhelming majority. I got on the phone to Survival International, a worldwide organization that supports tribal peoples and helps them uphold their rights, because I knew they would be celebrating too. I spoke to Carly Mercier and began by asking her exactly how the organization operates.
We work on behalf of tribal peoples, helping them to achieve their human rights, helping them especially to gain land rights and to be in control of their own destinies. And we do that through campaigning, lobbying governments, organising supporters to do letter writing campaigns and various other things.
Now, September saw the UN General Assembly's approval of the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. How did you at Survival International receive this news?
Well, we were thrilled by that, definitely. There have been discussions about this declaration for more than 20 years. At times it felt like perhaps it was never going to be passed. But no, it was a fantastic day because this declaration sets out the minimum standards, basically, for governments and their behaviour towards Indigenous peoples. So it was very good news indeed that it was passed.
In fact, I was really surprised. I read that the vote came after 22 years of debate and negotiation, and that some countries, including the US and Australia, voted against it. Now, what kind of interests can go against such a declaration?
Well, they claimed... I'll just point out they were in the minority. There was only four governments that voted against and 143 that voted in favour. Those four governments claimed that... various things, basically, that they thought certain aspects of the declaration were too wide-ranging. They were worried that Indigenous people might try and claim their whole countries back. And basically, it's a tragedy that they weren't able to see that this was an aspirational document. This is a standard, a benchmark, whereby all governments should be trying to achieve minimum standards for Indigenous peoples. And the fact that those so-called developed westernised democracies didn't feel able to vote in favour is quite depressing.
In fact, the event does underscore a problem that's often out of the limelight, and that's the abuse and disrespect with which Indigenous peoples around the world are treated. Can you give us an example of a people who have suffered from lack of respect for their rights and why?
A tribe that Survival works particularly closely with is the Bushmen of the Central Kalahari Game Reserve in Botswana, and they were evicted from their lands by the Botswana government. Basically, they say the reason that they wanted to move them is so that they could develop them. They feel they would be more civilized and developed if they could be settled outside the game reserve, where they can be given access to schools and to hospitals and so on. But actually, the opposite effect has happened. They've been moved from their land, and because they've got no access to their land now, they've become completely dependent on the government. There have been all sorts of health issues, such as HIV, AIDS and tuberculosis, that weren't an issue when they were living on their own land. They're losing their culture. There's a lot of problem with alcoholism and violence and so on. And this is all because of a misguided attempt to civilize and develop people who don't wish that to happen to them and wish to be in control of their own development and organize it at a pace that suits them. From a position of strength, that means from their own land.
If I'm not mistaken, this particular people in Botswana was also evicted because the government thought that their land was good mining area for diamonds.
That's right. I mean, Survival and the Bushmen believe that the real reason they were evicted because of diamonds. The government's given many reasons for the evictions, and the one that they're sticking by at the moment is because they wanted to develop the Bushmen, that they were doing it for their own good. But as I've explained, it's not actually helped the Bushmen in any way.
Now, I think most of our listeners, at least, will agree that Indigenous peoples do have rights to ownership of their land and to live as they wish. I also think Indigenous peoples have a lot to offer the rest of the world. You've mentioned cultural heritage and knowledge probably of medicinal plants. Am I right?
Well, definitely. I mean, besides the fact that we want to recognise their rights as individuals and as groups, simply because it's right to recognise people's human rights, they also, there's a huge benefit to everyone from having their cultures surviving. As you mentioned, they've got knowledge of plants and medicines that we don't necessarily know about yet. Even things like their languages are really important to everybody because they can teach us all kinds of things about how languages evolve and about how the human mind works and things like that. So there's many different reasons why it's important that these people should be able to be given a fair chance. But obviously the most important reason is that they're humans and they have human rights like everybody else.
I read on your website that there's still a number of uncontacted tribes in the world. It's quite amazing, this. Where are these tribes and what do they risk if they're violated?
Indeed, there's about 100, at least 100 uncontacted tribes around the world that we know of. A lot of them are in Latin America, some in Papua also, and some on the Andaman Islands in the Indian Ocean. Basically, what they risk if they're contacted is decimation, because a really high rate of tribal peoples die after first contact, so because they basically don't have immunity to things like the common cold, and sort of up to 90% of a tribe may actually die if a contact is handled in the wrong way and people go in and try and meet them and talk to them. So yeah, they risk losing everything, basically.
Carly, just finally turning back to the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, what are the main points that were brought up? What are their main rights?
Well, their main rights are to self-determination, which means basically that they have a right to determine their own social and political and cultural status. They've got rights to their land and territories. They've got the right not to be thrown off those lands and territories. And they've got the right to be treated as equals, basically, as individuals and also as Indigenous groups.
Sounds like really basic rights, doesn't it?
Basically, right. And all those rights really exist anyway for individuals. But the great thing about this declaration is it's saying that Indigenous peoples, as peoples, have these rights as collectives and should be able to operate these rights as groups. Say, for example, a really basic thing like should be able to have education in their own language and should be able to determine what that education would consist of.
There's so much talk nowadays about the preservation of biodiversity. One would think that this should apply to the human sector as well.
I guess so, yes. And also, I mean, the interesting thing is that there's a link between those things, because where tribal people have their land rights recognised and are able to live on that land and hunt and gather, the biodiversity, of course, is also preserved for everybody. So that's a real benefit to recognising tribal people's rights especially.
Carly, is there any particular hope you have?
Well, I hope that this declaration will be something along the lines of the UN Declaration on Human Rights that was passed about 60 years ago. Although we don't necessarily have a situation now where all countries always recognise and uphold all of the rights in that declaration, we've definitely seen huge progress over the last 60 years in regards to individual human rights. And I would like to see the same thing happen with Indigenous people's rights. I'd like to see this document be used as a thing that all governments should aspire to, and hopefully that will have real benefits over the years to come for Indigenous and tribal peoples.